really a serial abuser.
You need a different source. Guerrilla Radio, a century of news every Thursday and Saturday. Welcome back to Guerrilla Radio. Well, it's been just more than 2 weeks since Venezuela's election, and according to some inside and outside the country, the president is still to be determined. As in 2018, the election of Nicolas Maduro is unacceptable to right-wing activists and their oligarch sponsors in Venezuela, and as had been the case with Maduro's predecessor, the late Hugo Chavez, another Chavismo victory is anathema to the United States. That holds true, too, for faithful U.S. satellite Canada, whose Foreign Minister Melanie Joly says, quote, electoral data collected by citizen witnesses and independent international observers provides credible evidence that the results claimed by Maduro authorities of this election don't reflect the will of the Venezuelan people. Joe Amesberger is a Canadian, Ecuadorian author, journalist, engineer, and active member of the Uniford Trade Union. Amesberger co-authored with Justin Potter the book Extraordinary Threat, the U.S. Empire, the Media, and 20 Years of Coup Attempts in Venezuela. And his articles can be found at mintpressnewsfare.org, Counterpunch, Telesur English, and at his Substack page, Unedited Anti-Imperialism. Welcome back to the program, Joe.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always my pleasure, of course. Now, Joe, Reuters, Associated Press, The Washington Post, and even The Guardian are foursquare behind the claim of electoral fraud in Venezuela. Joe, can the estimable Western press and Melanie Joly all be mistaken?
Yeah, let me just get one premise out of the way that everyone seems to miss. It's impossible for an opposition, for the U.S.-backed opposition, Gonzalez and Machado, Gonzalez being the proxy candidate for Machado, who is disqualified because she's been involved in multiple U.S.-backed coup attempts against Venezuela going back all the way to 2002, when she signed the infamous Carmona Decree, which literally installed a dictatorship by Pedro Carmona for 2 days. So it's impossible for that group to win a clean victory, because the U.S. has imposed sanctions on Venezuela for several years now that are several times. You look at their dollar, their per capita dollar impact, they are several times harsher than the international sanctions that were put against apartheid South Africa in the late 80s. I pointed this out on my Twitter account. You can look at the dollar damage of the sanctions on South Africa and apartheid South Africa. So imagine that you have sanctions that are several times harsher, and everybody in the world knows that the only way, the surefire way, the quickest way to get the sanctions removed, which are devastating in impact, the surest, easiest way to get them removed is to have somebody like Machado or Gonzalez take over Venezuela as president. That's basically the surest fire way. So there's absolutely no way anybody could say that a vote for Gonzalez or Machado doesn't simply reflect voters making the calculation that that's the way to end the U.S. sanctions. So that totally, by any account, delegitimizes any victory that they could have won, regardless, before even getting into specifics of the vote count or anything like that. Their victory by them could never be free and fair under those circumstances, and Maduro's government would have been totally justified in just not preventing any, not only Machado from running, which she was prevented, but also just any proxy for Machado, because she traveled all over the country campaigning openly on behalf of Gonzalez.
But Venezuela did allow and it's pretty widely recognized that he was that Gonzalez is a puppet whose strings were actually visibly being pulled by Machado on stage across, as you mentioned, going across Venezuela. But they allowed it. So I mean, okay, we'll say that they allowed it. So, but I understand what you're saying, that it's a vote for him is a vote under duress. So it can't be regarded as legitimate.
Exactly. And so this is the dilemma that Chavismo's had for always, is that if you don't allow U.S.-backed subversives political freedom, then that is used to whip up a propaganda campaign against you, saying that you're oppressive and you're not allowing freedom and et cetera, same old thing. If you do allow them to run, then it also helps open dangers that you're creating this kind of corrosive atmosphere of impunity where they know they can get away with anything and just keep pushing the envelope and hoping that they can eventually, that the discontent caused by the sanctions, which again are extremely harsh, these sanctions are extremely devastating, and that'll eventually wear on the public support. So that's a point that has to be made there, because there are a lot of people are writing as if and people claiming to be from the left. For example, there's a piece in The Nation saying that the will of the Venezuelan people has been defied by Maduro. Well, that can't be the case, because if you're voting under duress, like you say, then that can't actually be the will of the Venezuelan people. And even there's a communists in Venezuela who've just recently come up with a statement in English too, to make sure the Americans don't miss it, that the will of the Venezuelan people has been has been blocked by Maduro. Well, again, that's impossible, because the will, if you have a foreign power that's much stronger and it's applying these crippling sanctions that are devastating and killing people, then that's obviously defying the will of the Venezuelan people to let them run. But again, like Maduro, like our government, they make a calculation. Okay, how much can you crack down without giving the United States some pretext to do even nastier things, sponsor a Contra force or do other things that can be. So it's they have to tread carefully when it comes to limiting the political rights of people like Machado and Gonzalez and so on. So that's that point has to be made right up front.
Well, okay, but I could say too that maybe Venezuelans are voting under duress, but maybe that's their choice to say, okay, I give up. You win, Uncle Sam. You win, El Norte. You've got my vote. I want this to change, and I don't care why. So that is their will, even though it is obviously being manipulated. But the manipulation now after the fact, what about the results that were released by the government? I was really surprised, Joe, to see that the Machado ticket got something, admittedly, like in the, what was it, close to 40% of the vote tally as the CNE, the Elections Commission for the country. Am I getting this right? Did they tabulate that Machado's ticket got 40% of the popular vote?
4 million. Yeah, that sounds about close. Like I said, the sanctions are several times harsher than what was applied to South Africa for the last 5 years of its existence. These are extremely, extremely harsh sanctions. And so as a consequence of that, the government has fewer resources for social programs. And, it creates discontent. Sometimes the way the government tries to adapt to the sanctions, welcoming in foreign investment, or that also opens it up to attacks from different angles, even from the left, saying, oh, they're going neoliberal or whatever. So the sanctions work in the sense that they create pain, and every government has its own internal contradictions, its problems. So that generates discontent, and that can generate support and in addition to what you say, just people saying, well, I don't care. I want an end to the sanctions. I don't care. Just let them in anyway. Right. Just vote Machado. That's the way. The sanctions, that's the way hopefully things will turn around faster economically. There has been a turnaround in recent years, but I mean, it's fast growth, but from a very low, from a devastating low that it was brought to for years of sanctions. There's been like a 75% decline in GDP. It's just absolutely devastating. So those are all factors. But again, there is no such thing. If a foreign power starves Canada to get its candidate in, that's not a free and fair election. I mean, you could say, well, the people made a choice to surrender. Sure, they made a choice to surrender, but don't call it democratic. Democratically surrender to a far greater foreign power that's torturing you. That's not democratic. You can call it a lot of things, but to call it democracy or democratic, it does violence to the term.
The Guardian, long regarded as a left-wing publication, and its Sunday paper, The Observer, I came upon a piece by a bloke named Tiago Ruggiero. I'm sorry about the pronunciation, Tiago. It's how Venezuela's opposition proved its election win. A brilliant political move, it says in quotation marks after that. Well, now, what about this so-called proof by the opposition, this after-the-election plan that they admit that they've been organizing for like a year or something for what happens the day after the election, presumably knowing that they couldn't win on a level field, that they would have a game plan. What is that game plan, and how is it being rolled out, Joe?
Well, okay. When you talk about these analyses that are floated by people like the Guapo, the Associated Press, the Guardian, these outlets were all, for example, extremely supportive of the ousting of Lula and or jailing of Lula and they were happy to buy off on all the allegations against him that put him in jail and allowed Bolsonaro to win while his most dangerous opponent politically was in jail. So I mean that alone, the Guardian. Been at this for years with vilifying Venezuela. This goes all the way back. Justin Podor and I wrote about it in our book. So any idea that they're left wing or supportive of governments that Washington wants to overthrow, that just doesn't stand up. Their track record is very clear. They've always been hostile. More to the point, though, everyone should recall, extremely important to recall, is the 2019 coup in Bolivia, where the Evo Morales, I think very unwisely, allowed so-called independent observers like the OAS to monitor their election, and what they basically did was they just lied about the results, and all these media that are now pushing the opposition's line on Venezuela, they all support the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Guardian. They all got behind this this ridiculous claim that there was an inexplicable change in trend during Bolivia's election that allowed Morales to prevail. And you know, that they pushed that, and big NGOs like Human Rights Watch all pushed that. And so they all basically lied like crazy about and these election results, they came in real time. You know, it's a different system than Venezuela's. Venezuela's elections electronic. It's a very different system. In Bolivia, they did exactly what the OAS told them they should do. They had two separate counts, and even that ended up being weaponized against them. And through the media, there was all kinds of statistical analyses that were published claiming that, there's no way Morales cooked the books and won by fraud. And so allow me to remember the same actors who are now pushing the opposition's fraud claims in Venezuela are the very same people who pushed this stuff about Bolivia. And this led to a military coup that almost got Evo Morales lynched. He was lucky to have escaped with his life. So I think Maduro's government took a lesson there, is that there is no way they're going to put, like, they allowed some election observers like the Carter Center and that to come in, but there was no way they were going to put them in a position where they're the final arbiters of whether the election was fair. The election is going to be ruled on by Venezuelan authorities, exactly as it would be in Canada or United States or anywhere else. If there's a disputed election, well, okay, we're going to go to our Supreme Courts and they're going to decide it. They're going to assess the evidence. We're not going to say, okay, UN. We're not going to say, okay, let's let some NGO that's close to Maduro's government decide on the validity of Canada's electoral process.
In the Guardian piece, Rogero, he says, I'll quote him here, that Maduro's government has dismissed the opposition's results as a fraud, but the tallies have been verified by four independent analyses carried out by the Associated Press, the Washington Post, the Colombian NGO Mission d'Observation Electorale, and the elections forensic professor Walter R. Mebane Jr. from the University of Michigan. I was talking, I've been in correspondence all morning with Professor Mebane about, and I read some of his paper that he released a week after the actual election, which a 35-page long work that I found amazing that it would be released so quickly. Then I looked at the Associated Press article that the Guardian has cited and found that they themselves won't stand by their own assertions. It's a small piece, not even really to be called an article, more just an eight or 10 paragraph piece that then at the end it pays off by saying we can't really say that what we received from the opposition was valid or legitimate in any way. The Washington Post also begs off, although they put a more effort into their piece, but they've got some very, they raised some really unknowingly raised some questions that I think could have the opposition people in chains, but they say, they finish by saying, asking, why haven't the authorities whose duty is to publish the actas done so to prove their point? This was a week ago, mind you. So it was a week after the election that they published. Can you, Joe, just tell us what's an acta? What are the actas? And why hadn't they been released, if that's the truth, a week after the election, as is demanded by law, according to this article?
everything I've read is that it's they have 30 days to do. What they mean by act is they mean like the tallies, the voting by voting station that right. shows you voting results broken down by voting station, right? So the government, what the Maduro, as soon as these fraud claims started, Maduro went is he went to the Supreme Court, immediately petitioned the formally petitioned the Supreme Court to do the investigation, to gather all the political parties, not just the opposition backed Machado, represented by Machado, but all the opposition has their own copies of the precinct data, right, of the voting station data. So they all so he went to the Supreme Court and said, look, please investigate this. And they said, yeah, okay. So they called all the political parties, were called to come before the electoral chamber and present their actas, their copy of the precinct, you know, voting station data. And they all did, except for Edmundo Gonzalez, the guy who claims that he has the all the evidence that he needs to prove that he won, right? By 70% too, probably the biggest landslide in the history of Venezuelan politics, which by itself tells you something right there, right?
That's crazy, Joe, because the Washington Post puts up a table of their breakdown as supplied by the opposition, state by state. There's 23 precincts that they claim is 80% of the total, but that was all they could get because of the evil socialists. But right. every single state shows a Gonzalez victory, every right. single one. Some of them right. by just amazing, you know, margins. Yeah. But so Maduro didn't even, according to this, win even. And this is taken by these scholars as being deemed to be, oh, yeah, there's nothing fishy right. about this. Now, is it possible that there's not even a single state that is loyal enough to Chavismo and the government and maybe even just likes Maduro's mustache enough to vote for to vote him in?
Well, like I said, the scale of the victory they're claiming is unprecedented. Like Chavez, at the height of his popularity, didn't pull off what they said this frail old man who's barely known a month ago pulled off. But there's another reason I think is even more compelling here. In 2018, Maduro got 6.2 million votes. Okay, now that's in 2018. Of course, this is under several years of economic sanctions, very harsh conditions. So that 6.2 million votes he get is not some fickle vote. That's a very solid, loyal vote, obviously. Under those conditions to vote for Maduro, that is not a vote that just evaporates easily.
That's very close to what he came in this time too, right?
Yeah, 6.4 million, yeah. So so to claim that there was this massive collapse in the vote and that they didn't recognize it was coming. And just even speaking to, you know, that doesn't wash. That just on its face doesn't wash. But also, the other damning fact that why wouldn't Edmundo Gonzalez, like all the other parties, go to the Supreme Court and present his evidence? That's the, you know, they say, well, they don't trust the Supreme Court. Okay, well, here's your chance to discredit the court. Force the court to fudge your data in front of everybody. You know what I mean? You know, so... The Supreme Court of Venezuela is gonna do the expert analysis and examine all the parties' data, and that's what's gonna decide gonna make a final ruling on the election. And they have 30 days to publish the precinct by precinct data. And by the way, when that gets published, I think we can look for it with what'll happen. I think is very similar to what happened with Evo Morales. You know, there will be people out there who can concoct some analysis that claims to support whatever viewpoint they want to support. But I think the election results just on their face make sense, just based on what we've seen before. And also it's the job of the Venezuelan authorities to rule on whether the election was fair. It's not. Morales, again, made the mistake in 2019 of allowing U.S. controlled bodies like the OAS to give them the final say. And that's why there's so much pride. You know, the media throws the term independent around a lot when it's, I mean, look at the Carter Center. I mean, they're terrible. I did an article about them looking at their track record in Venezuela. It's actually bad. And so, you know, to call those groups that are totally linked to the U.S. establishment as being independent. I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, it would be like, imagine us in Canada, we have an election and we call upon NGOs that are linked to Maduro's political party, the PSUV, and have them be the final arbiters of whether who gets to be our prime minister, you know, or the media in Venezuela who tend to side with the government, the Chavista media, and let's say, okay, let them do the analysis, and you know,
the Carter Center is clearly getting a lot more mileage than they deserve out of Carter's name, and it's often said that Carter had, when he was still active, praised the Venezuelan system as being the most democratic he'd ever seen, or something to that effect. But the Carter Center
Got
nothing to do with Carter.
Yeah, well, and Carter just, if you look at the track record of Carter when he was in office, when he was a Georgia governor, he's just terrible. He's a very imperialist politician, just like anyone who makes it into to be president of the United States. It's not, I mean, the idea that these people are going to be trusted to judge on elections that take place in a country that the United States has been literally trying to overthrow for decades. I mean, that's just crazy.
Well, so, they stole all their assets on the last election around when they declared a guy who didn't even run as president, and then used that to leverage all their assets, you know, billions of dollars worth.
All these media that you're citing all were behind that. They all supported that. They weren't leading the charge against all those outrageous things that happened. They were supportive of it. You know, how can people, you know, trust them to be the analysis that comes out of such people, and you have raw data that's supplied by people like Machado, who've been, I mean, she wrote to Netanyahu asking him in 2019, say, please help us get rid of Maduro. She's been constantly in English asking for foreign intervention in her own country. So how does data that comes from them, I mean, how does anyone regard that as credible or as trustworthy?
Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with Joe Emmisberger. Joe's a Canadian-Ecuadorian author, journalist, engineer, and active member of the Unifor Trade Union. He's co-authored with Justin Podor the book Extraordinary Threat, the U.S. Empire, the Media, and 20 Years of Coup Attempts in Venezuela. His articles can be found at Mint Press News, fair.org, Telesur English, and at his Substack page, Unedited Anti-Imperialism. Well, yeah, Joe, the media too, and I've been looking at the ones that were mentioned, from first The Guardian, the Washington Post, the AP, a little bit on Reuters too. But one of the things that they're clear, that the language is just outrageous, for one thing. Name calling and being derogatory towards the government of Venezuela, and saying preemptively, well, the question that you asked, well, why don't they go to the Supreme Court? Well, in one of the articles, they say, well, because the Supreme Court are all handpicked by and loyal to Maduro. They say the same about the Attorney General, who they don't even deign with giving him the credit of his title as a Attorney General. Well, Tariq Saab, they say, Maduro loyalist. And
all right, so Chris, let me tell you something that's really important. It's got to be missed here, is that what the media are doing is they're basically saying the only sources that are credible have to be anti-Maduro sources. Mm-hmm. So we have to wait, supposedly, for the anti-Maduro sources to concede, and then we can say, okay, yeah, they lost. So if you accept that standard of evidence, then you know, basically you're screwed. I mean, you're going to always be behind whatever the United States, whatever they say about Venezuela. That's what over two decades worth of propaganda has done. It just means any source that comes from Chavismo, any institution that comes from Chavismo, is automatically dismissed out of hand. It's funny is that then this, in a way, this is why I take a Kamel's warped pressure in the way Trump has, you know, the whole stop the steal thing, is because now the kind of way, I think the chickens have come home to roost, where you don't like what an institution says, you just declare it biased, and you just stick to your guns and claim the election was stolen. You know, this is kind of what they're kind of, in a way, in a small way, kind of the whole stop the steal phenomenon that they're whining about, and they're claiming is going to be the end of the democracy. Well, this is the kind of thing they enabled, where the Supreme Courts, whatever, you know, they're appointed through a process in the United States or in any country that's political, always. Same as in Venezuela, same as anywhere else. So unless you're going to assign judges by lot or something, I mean, there's no way you could say, and that, you know, you could dispute whether that would even be appropriate anyway, but there's always going to be a political element to selecting your judiciary, the authorities that judge on your elections. So,
well, the CNE too, they deride the electoral commission as being, you know, the Maduro connected CNE, when this is like Elections Canada or Elections BC in our case out here. that they work for the government.
They're opposition people in the CNE too. But yeah, but basically, if you're gonna, they're always trying to force us to do is if anything that comes from Maduro is you can't accept it as evidence. So any ruling by it doesn't matter that the Supreme Court is chosen in the political process as it is everywhere else in the world. It's not valid because they don't like it. Basically, the United States and Canada don't like it, so it's not valid. And the only way they would ever accept that Maduro won is if Machado basically came out and said, yeah, he won. I mean, that's the kind of standards of evidence that they're always trying to impose on us. You know, is it just discredit anything that anybody else says, any institution, and also disregard the legitimacy of the institution too. Like, it's a very basic point, but Canada's elections have to be ruled on by Canadians, by Canadian institutions. If you don't like those institutions, okay, then go about changing them. But you don't think anyone here is going to support just letting some foreign power, and especially some foreign power that's been trying to starve your country into submission, let them be the ultimate deciders, if you will, of whether your election was valid or not.
Well, and again, now the Guardian says the U.S. and other countries have recognized Gonzalez's win, while even left-wing governments of Mexico, Brazil, and Colombia, traditionally more sympathetic to Chavismo, have urged Maduro to release the complete voting tallies. I don't remember Colombia being famously left-wing, although they're a little left of center. President now is a change from the 50 years of right-wing death squads. And similarly, in Mexico, it's a bit of an aberration that they have even left of center people at the helms right now. But here, again, they are emphasizing that it should be people outside the countries that grant legitimacy to the government and the Organization of American States, the OAS, as you cite. They also say in this piece, though, that the Venezuela's top prosecutor, as they describe him, Tarek Saab, a Maduro loyalist, has said he's going to open criminal investigations into the opposition's website and forging of documents and computer crimes and conspiracies. A couple thousand have been arrested already, but mostly on violence in the streets. But this claim that there was hacking of the election. What about this? This has been denied on the other side, naturally, but everyone can agree, I think, that Venezuela's electoral system was pretty hack-proof, or that they'd done a lot of work to make sure that it couldn't be fiddled with through technology. What about this claim by the government that there was hacking going on during the vote?
Well, that's the evidence they presented to the electoral chamber, to the Supreme Court. And it has to do with the transmission of results. When they originally transmitted the results a few hours, the CNE said they did it a few hours late because of problems they had keeping their website up because of cyber attacks. Cyber attacks are extremely common. This real scumbag Brownfield, he was an ambassador to Venezuela for several years. And while Chavez was still alive, I believe, he said, you know, in an interview, he says this kind of stuff openly. He says that the military option that they can have against Venezuela can consist largely of cyber attacks in the 21st century, and consist of any specified other things, like basically the use of contra forces, the use of rounding up Venezuelans to do attacks on Venezuela. But he specifically mentioned cyber attacks are one of the tools in the USA's arsenal against Venezuela. So, I mean, for people to be dismissive of the cyber attacks, I mean, we had cyber attacks against the electoral grid. We have all sorts of things that are being done against Venezuela for decades now. So it's pretty remarkable. I mean, the United States has even stolen fuel shipments in times of fuel shortages from when Trump was around. They did this in 2020. So, I mean, just the scale of aggression that they've perpetrated. I mean, for anyone to be dismissive about cyber attacks, I mean, that just strikes me as silly. They've openly said that's one of the tools they use against governments they don't like.
Well, Joe, we're fast out of time here. Now, just before we go, though, so what's the status right now, the latest? Because some of these articles I could only get were, like, you know, a few days old, and things are changing so quickly right now. Right. What's the latest?
It's with the Supreme Court. It'll probably take another week or two to get a final ruling. And then according to, they're supposed to publish the results. That'll be important. Because when that's done, that'll open up a new round of allegations and whatnot. But the bottom line is, it'll be the Supreme Court that'll make the final ruling. And about Mexico, Colombia, and Brazil, they did say that, you know, they want to see the results published, because that is a requirement. But also they want to see Venezuela. They also do say, and this is the good part of what they said, is that it's up to Venezuelan authorities that have to assert their sovereignty in making the ruling about the election.
Well, now if only they would send the memo to Melanie Joly. Thanks a lot, Joe, for coming on again. Okay.
All right, no problem.
And I want to thank to Eve Engler and remind everyone to stay tuned for what's coming up next. Escape the narrative. It's Guerrilla Radio.